Heavenly Father, we ask that you would cause us to know that you are Lord over our lives, that whatever comes at us, whatever betide, that your Spirit, your Word assures us that you will provide. Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears, that we would hear and taste and see that you are good. We ask all of this in your Son's name. Amen. So today we are going to go to the book of John. We'll be looking at chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Before we begin, I kind of would like to set kind of a question before you, and to kind of set a context here. There are many words we could use to describe the last 2 years. Fear, perhaps. Anger, perhaps. Discouragement, perhaps. But I wonder how many of us would use the word joy. Indeed, if we look at the constant news stream, if we look at the constant noise of the world, we'll get disappointment. We will get discouragement. We will get fear. But where do we get joy? Where do we get joy when all the trials of life come upon us, when we see so many things seem to go wrong? Where do we get joy? Indeed, Martin Lloyd-Jones, who lived through 2 world wars, lived through one of the awful pandemic, had this to say. In such a world, even under such conditions, it is possible to have a joy which is unquenchable, which cannot be defeated, which can prevail and triumph under any condition whatsoever. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote this concerning the letter of John. So with those words of introduction, let us come now to the scripture. Beginning on chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So far the reading of God's holy, inspired, inerrant word, may He add His blessing to it. So again, I come to this question, joy. Or another way of putting it, hope. Where do we as believers find hope in this world? Indeed, J.R.R. Tolkien put it this way in the question of the character Samwise Gamgee. How can the end be happy? Well, the answer is this. Come to Jesus Christ and live. This is what John is proclaiming us to do. He's calling us to do, and he calls us to do this for really three reasons, three pillars that we rest on. First, we have a certain hope. Secondly, we have a living hope. And finally, we have a faithful hope. So come to Jesus Christ and live. To understand this, let's go to our first point. The certainty of our hope. The fact that we have a certain hope. John proclaims this in so many words. In verse 1, he states, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaim to you the eternal life." I cannot help but read these words and realize that John, the exuberance of the joy that John has in the salvation in Christ Jesus. When he's writing these words, he's reflecting back on his gospel that he wrote. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God and was God. This Word became flesh. He dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory of the only God, of the Son of God. As the Nicene Creed states, begotten before the Father, before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God. This is Jesus. And this is what John presents to us, what eternal life is. And why can we have a certain hope in Christ? It's because the testimony of Scripture truly gives us eternal life. See, in these verses that we have just read, John is proclaiming an eyewitness testimony. And he's not just proclaiming himself. We have seen, we have heard, we testify and proclaim to you the historical reality that Christ became, that God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. Not only resting on the testimony of the apostles, but resting on the testimony of the Old Testament, proclaiming that God would come to save his people. Not only that he would come to save his people, but that message of salvation would spread to people like us. To people like us. Don't you know that the gospel is for you? And not just for you, but for us, his people. A chosen possession of Christ. John tells us that this life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us, he states in verse 3, "That which we have seen and have heard, we proclaim also to you." We are to believe in Christ because his witness is true. And this truth gives us eternal life. To kind of break down what's happening here, what is motivating his joy? What is eternal life? Well, I think we could contrast it with what the world would call life. And I can't think of a better way of encapsulating what the world calls life than in the song by Billy Joel. "I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. It seems much more fun. You know that only the good die young." See, Billy Joel understands a bit of what the world is saying. It tells us that to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. It encapsulates Adam and Eve's original sin in being God, knowing good and evil, attempting to decide what good and evil is, and living life on our own terms. That is the reason why we are the way we are, why human history is the way it is. It's a long story of people trying to be God people forsaking God for what they think will give them happiness, joy, and fulfillment. Well, Christian, what do we have? It's because He lives, I can face tomorrow. It's because He lives, all fear is gone. It's because I know He holds the future. That makes life worth living. Just because He lives. That is the joy which John has, which he almost can barely, you can just read this and see that he's repeating himself. Why is he repeating himself? It's because this is the joy that he's received. That he has seen the risen Lord who has declared eternal life to you and to me and to all who will believe. It's because of the testimony he has. So, to put this in a point to where we can understand it today, first off, we can trust our Bibles because we don't believe in credibly devised myths. But not only is this word true, but it is active and it is living. So we can trust it. And not only trust it, we can have fellowship with each other through the death and resurrection of Christ. Notice how John states, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the joy which John has. We trust in this scripture. This scripture converts us and makes us believe in the gospel according to Christ. This scripture brings us in communion with each other. And this scripture causes us to have the fellowship with each other, indeed, fellowship that Jesus has with us. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So we can trust, we can have fellowship, and we can commune with God and with each other because Jesus Christ is Lord. So come to Jesus Christ and live because of the certain hope we have in His Word. Not only do we have a certain hope, but we have a hope that is living. What is a living hope? Well, it is exposed within this passage on jumping down to verse 4. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What does it mean to live in the light? What does it mean to have a living hope? It means we are living in the light. We are living in the light. If you believe in Christ, you will walk in the light with each other. See, what John tells us is that God is light and in Him is no darkness. And because God is light, He exposes the darkness. But those who claim, and this is why those who claim to have no sin, do not know God. Because the Bible tells us that we are darkness. And rather than judging me for my darkness, God comes and brings this word. He puts a person in my life, my parents, to proclaim the word to me, and He works His salvation through His Spirit. He saved us. He saved us. And those who know that salvation know themselves to be incredible sinners. This does not crush us, though, because they know that God not only knew that sin when he saved them, but he completely and totally forgives and cleanses that sin. Even now, we who are believers who continue to struggle against sin. If you believe in Christ, you will walk in the light. What does this mean specifically? What it means is, to put it in a way that we can understand it. I remember when the power went out during my studies. In fact, it's kind of a funny situation. The power, we're all getting ready for finals. We're all taking tests, and suddenly, boom, the power goes out. And you have these funny little things where students are taking tests with their flashlights. I mean, there's a little bit of humor to this. But guess what? It is really hard to take a final when you can't see. It's really hard to take a final when you can't see. Point of the matter is, light is essential. If we want to live, we need light. We need light. The same thing is true when it comes to the Christian life. The light of Christ will expose us for what we are, but offers the only thing that we cannot afford to refuse, and the one thing the world will never offer us: forgiveness. Forgiveness. Atonement. New life. The world cannot offer that. But that is what Christ came to do. For in verse 7 it tells us, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So come into the light. What do I mean by come into the light? Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. I can say this as a young seminary student, prideful and foolish when I was entering seminary. I really wish that came out of my mouth was this: how can I pray for you? We need to be praying for each other because we need each other. Because Christ didn't save us to be isolated. He saved us so that we would love him and love each other and build each other up through praying, forgiving, and receiving each other, because Christ has received and forgiven us. So pray, confess your sins to each other and to Christ. And Christ cleanses us from our sins. Let us not hold grudges against each other, because Christ didn't hold a grudge against me or against you. He loves you. Let us therefore love each other. Because the fact of the matter is, Christ came to save such a people as us. Come as you are to him, but know that Christ will not leave you as you are. He starts what he finishes, and he will never leave us or forsake us. Therefore, let us come to Jesus Christ and live. Finally, this hope is a faithful hope. Jumping down to verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. To put this in another way, if you believe, you will rest in him for your faithfulness. Because the hope we have is faithful, and Christ is faithful to us. See, do not deceive yourselves as if our attempt to live a righteous life will make us any help, would do any good. Christ himself is our faithfulness, and he has promised to forgive us and to cleanse us. And those who say that they are all right with God are making God a liar. To make this illustration, let's understand the difference between a wounded body and a dead one. What's the difference? One bleeds and one hurts. You can do anything to a dead body. It doesn't do anything. But a live person bleeds and hurts. What's the point of this? Well, sin wounds the consciousness of believers. When a believer sins, we feel it. We feel it. One of the greatest evidences of the work of the Spirit in us is the conviction of our sins and the confession of them, which leads us to repentance. Both reconciliation with Him and reconciliation with each other. Faith compels confession based on the faithfulness of Christ. Unbelief, however, compels sin, which compels more unbelief. See, ultimately we have the two differences between two different lifestyles, two different faiths. But if your foundation is Christ, know that Christ will never leave you or forsake you. Christ and Christ alone has the power to completely cleanse you and to make you holy, to make me holy. Which means we can rest. I don't know about you, but sometimes the burden of old sins can feel like a burden. We can lay that burden down at Christ's feet. We must reject our own desires to make ourselves clean and to rely solely and wholly upon the grace that we have received. Because when Christ makes you clean, you truly are clean. Whom the Son sets free, we are free indeed. So we can live, as the hymnist has proclaimed, whate'er my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Because that hymnist's foundation was not himself, but Christ. And that is our only foundation. The only rock which will stand in the midst of the judgment and the day of the Lord. And it is our only hope and comfort in life and in death. Therefore, let us come to Jesus Christ and live, because the hope we have is a true hope. It is a certain hope. It is a hope that yields light and life, and it is a hope that is faithful. To come back to old Billy Joel, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than die with the saints. It seems much more fun. You know, I'd only do good, die young. Well, Billy Joel, or those who hold the philosophy of Billy Joel, it doesn't stand to muster the test of time. It's the fact of the matter is youth passes away. Under this worldview, suffering is hushed up. Death is not thought of. Live it up, it only gets worse. Life has no ultimate meaning. Oh, Christian, we have a much better song to sing than that. Hail the heaven-born, Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings, mild he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. This is the joy of our salvation. Our only comfort, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, whatever is unhelpful, unholy, and not of you may be quickly forgotten. But whatever is of you, may it search our hearts and convict us all, including myself. For the fact of the matter is, we've heard the truth so many times, and yet so often we're so influenced by the world. And we forget that we have reason to rejoice, even in the midst of such pain and suffering that we have seen. Teach us, Lord, to renew our minds. Let us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time. May we taste and see that you are good. We ask this according to your steadfast name. Amen.